Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Good day, everyone, and it is a good day. You know why it's a good day? I love surrounding myself with people that motivate me, that push me without them even knowing it. You know, I have this wall in my office at home. It's my home office that my beautiful husband built me. And I always knew that when he built me this office that I would surround myself, this whole office would be surrounded by things that motivate me. And one of the walls I dedicated to photos of people that motivated me. And this is everything from like Mother Teresa to Eleanor Roosevelt to you name it. I put these people on my wall so that I saw them every day and remembered there were people out there who really inspire me. And if I surround myself with that, that would kick me in the butt and get me going. Well, one great thing about Dream Big Radio is that I get to have those kind of people on my show. And today I have a woman who has motivated me my whole life, and I don't think she knows it necessarily. Yes, we are related, but that doesn't have anything to do with it, really, except for the fact that she's been in my life my whole life. But this is a person who has had a really interesting life and has never stopped inspiring me to do better, from everything from her business sense to her health, how she takes care of herself, and just her mind. She's very brilliant. So I know this is like, she's probably like, what? But anyway, I want to introduce you to the owner of Big Frog Custom T-shirts in Nashville, Tennessee, Miss Janet Carmichael. How are you this morning?
I'm good. With that introduction, how can anybody not be good? Not be great. Gosh, thank you so much. I'm humbled.
Oh, well, you know, that's what I love about you too, is that you are humble. You know, you're a very smart woman, very smart businesswoman, and you motivate people around you. I don't even know if you realize how much you do. But, you know, one of the reasons, the main reasons I had you come on the show was to discuss, well, we won't discuss your whole life. We only have so many minutes. But what you've done in your life has been kind of a wide variety, and not just from, you know, you grew up in Michigan and, you know, you had a very nice life, I would say, growing up, if I can say that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, your father was a great success. Your mother was incredible. You had a huge family. But then you did things, you moved all over the country. What's it like? I mean, you lived in Australia, right?
Yes, we did for 3 years.
What was it like to leave? Now, where were you originally before? Were you still in Michigan and then moved to Australia? I was trying to piece it all together.
Yeah, well, after college, I went directly to New York City and started my first job there. And with that job was transferred to Australia to run a division for 3 years.
Now, what was that job, though? What was that job? What was it in?
It was in the insurance industry. So I was an insurance underwriter with AIG, which at the time no one knew who they were. Now they're a little bit more well known.
A little bit.
Because of their recession spotlight. But I knew I wanted to get into international business, but largely because my father had traveled extensively and had encouraged international, merely because it's so different and so challenging and interesting. Mm-hmm. So I literally went to the library. This was well before the internet, of course, and went through annual reports and applied to companies with international operations.
Who does that?
Obviously, who does
that? It's amazing.
That?
And obviously,
I didn't get very far because I started with AIG. So I stopped at I think I got to Campbell Soup, actually, because I got to the C's before. I was like, I need to go home. And I applied to AIG. And honestly, the job was a great fit because I had studied finance. And so it brought finance together with the international piece versus, say, banking, where you had to slug out numerous years on the domestic side before getting the more attractive international post.
Okay.
And so I started on their international side. And like I said, after 3 years, went to Australia and absolutely loved it, had a great experience. What was wonderful about going to Australia versus another country is I knew the language. I knew nothing about their legal systems or their broker systems at the time, but at least I knew the language.
Right.
And it just, you know, really went into that with a very open mind and just, I'm an information gatherer, so gathered as much information as possible and thoroughly enjoyed it. I was a little disappointed to have to come back to the States, but was offered a promotion and, you know, but I did. And then I spent another 3 years in New York. And then I hit a moment in my life where I think sometimes life tells you to stop and take a look around. Mm. And my husband, Dan, and I were both going through the same conversation. At this point, we had two kids at the age of 3 and 1. We were on that hamster wheel, working, spending very little time with each other during the week, spending the weekends running errands and just going. And our schedule was controlling us. Mm. And our lives were controlling us, not the other way around. And we went on a walk and said, we need to get off this wheel and focus on the most important thing, which is our family. And that conversation, and I do believe that having those conversations either with yourself or with others ultimately leads to making things happen. But that conversation ultimately led to my meeting my old boss, who brought me down to Nashville to take a position still in the insurance industry, this time as a broker versus an underwriter. And I reference that phase of my life as walking out of hell and into Eden. Not that New York is hell, but we didn't have family there. That wasn't our home, and neither was Nashville, but Nashville at least allowed us to have some breathing room and a time to spend with the family. And it was ultimately and continues to be a great place to raise kids.
Mm, beautiful. Well, I mean, the thing is though, you know, you're a planner and you are information. Like you said, you gather all this information, but you're as factual as you sound with it, there is risk taking in everything you've done. I mean, just a lot of people don't ever leave their home state ever in their lives. I mean, you've moved all over, including Australia. I mean, didn't you even give birth to one of your kids in Australia? I think one of them was Grace.
Gordon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gordon was born there. I think that has been within me. As an example, I was, as you know, the youngest of 6 kids, mm-hmm. and everybody before me had gone from the same Catholic elementary school to, at one point or another, the same Catholic, and Robbie might have been different because of the change, but went to Catholic high school and just kind of fed and then went to Michigan schools. And I think in seeing that, I went differently for high school and left all my friends that were going on to the Catholic high school and went to a private high school. And then I was the only one who went out of state for college as well. And I don't think it's a rebel. I think it's just that desire to do things differently for the sake of learning more, learning differently. I will have to say it drives my husband a little bit crazy, but there is a constant thirst for improving or learning, you know, either myself or about other things. If I get stuck on a topic, I dive in and try to make myself sort of a subject expert on it.
You totally do on so many levels, and I've witnessed it throughout your whole life. I mean, you know, we'll get back to how you went from corporate to your t-shirt business, but also just everything that you've dove into from, you know, the foster care of animals. I mean, mm-hmm. some people just take a dog in. No, you like go right in. And I mean, almost everything that you touch becomes almost like a company in itself. What do you think is in you that has that drive? I mean, I know me, I'm similar in that situation where I get a focus and I go for it. Mm-hmm. What do you think that is, that drive, besides being the youngest of 6 kids?
I don't know. I mean, I think one of my core values is curiosity.
Mm, and, I love it.
You know, to the point where if I meet someone, you know, either somebody who works for me or I work with somebody or come across someone who doesn't want to know the why, you know, if there's a problem and they don't care about solving that problem, it's like, wow, I just find that so unnatural. Like, well, surely you want to know why that's happening, but you know,
there are people out there that don't care, but yeah, it's so important that you do that.
And they're probably so much more relaxed than I am and will probably live a longer life.
No, I disagree. I think that that's one of the things that keeps you ticking. And like I said, it is highly motivating. So explain to me, you know, how you ended up in a t-shirt business. I mean, yeah. I remember when you first told me, I'm like, well, that's different. Like, you know, I just never thought of that. So how did that happen?
Well, insurance is not exactly the sexiest industry in the world, no doubt about it. I do tell the story that when I went to cocktail parties and someone said, what do you do? And I explained that I was an insurance broker, they would quickly move the other way.
Oh.
Now that I'm in the t-shirt business, everybody has a great t-shirt that they want to make. So, you know, you have something to talk about. But I hit a point in, I don't really want to call it a midlife crisis, because it was certainly before the traditional midlife crisis. Some have, but I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over. And I guess relating back to what we were just talking about, I didn't feel like I was learning new things.
Mm.
And I was bored. I was unhappy. And, I thought I need to change this.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that was several years, you know, probably a good three years of feeling that way before actually being forced to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, and when I say that, you know, the recession hit and they were reorganizing my company again. And while I was doing very well, I think they were looking for a quick way to save some money. And I ended up being one of those victims.
Wow.
I think that what happened is that I kept sort of praying, you know, please make this change, please make this change.
Mm-hmm.
And God finally said, you keep saying you're going to do something about it and you're not. So let me help you.
Yeah. Remy's doing her producer here is doing a shove. He's like doing a visual shove. Yeah. God just gave you a nice little push. But, you know,
yeah,
and what was that like for you emotionally, even though you wanted it, right? And when it happened, was it like, thank you? Or were you just like, oh God, now here where I'm at, you know, how did you feel?
To be honest, I was devastated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am a prideful person, mm-hmm. and I was doing very well. It came as a complete surprise. Your first reaction is, what? Why would you want to get rid of me?
Right.
So I, at that point, said, I'm not going to take, well, after I stopped crying, mm-hmm. I said, all right, what's next? Okay, I got to figure this out, because I also was the breadwinner. My husband was a stay-at-home dad. So
right.
we did not have another income to fall on. And thankfully, I had done well. So my severance package gave me some flexibility for thought.
Which is nice. You didn't have to jump in. And you chose not to jump in, which is great, because people rush right into something, you know?
I did. And I felt like I was going to be that person, and I really didn't want to be. So I took a whole year off and said, I'm taking an entire year off. I got the best tan of my life that summer. But
awesome.
He's probably regretting it now. But,
no.
And then I also went and met with various industries and various people, because I thought, you know, for 3 years you were wanting to do something different. So go out and find out what you could potentially do,
mm-hmm.
which is another humbling experience, because humbling as well as gratifying, because on the one hand, you start to feel very inept, like, I don't know what these people are talking about. And I think ultimately where that led was, I might not have an expertise in X, but I have a business expertise. I've run a profit and loss. I've managed people. You know, I build business plans. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And three people had pointed me towards a franchise broker. And I thought, well, I don't know anything other than insurance, and I don't want to do insurance necessarily again. And we went and met with this franchise broker and researched a variety of different models. having just cleaned my daughter's closet out of over 100 t-shirts, when the t-shirt concept came up, I thought, yeah, the t-shirt is still alive and well. And I first thought it was one of those tourist places with like the naked body of the woman on the t-shirt, or I'm a stupid. And I was like, yeah, I can't do super cheesy. That's not for me. But Big Frog Custom T-shirts concept is just that, custom t-shirts. You've got a reunion, or you have a business, you're a school, and you want to put some creative t-shirt together. So I thought, well, that I can get behind. That sounds fun. It also gave me the opportunity to work with much younger people. And in doing so, that becomes very energizing. Mm-hmm. But it also became this, okay, now I got to learn the millennials. Like, what are they about? and that's had its own challenges, but also its own gratifying moments for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the key word that popped out in that statement was that something fun. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, was mm-hmm. that a different, I know for me, you know, I worked in a corporate world for a long time, and, you know, there are ups and downs in the days there. And I totally know what you mean by boredom, and boredom can cause depression. I totally believe mm-hmm. that. And, you know, you're questioning your purpose, but, the idea of having fun, you know, as a planner, as a, just a go-getter, I know for me that I have a hard time having fun. In fact, it's not that I'm not fun. I think I'm fun, but you know, I'm so serious about, you know, going for something that sometimes I forget to have the fun. In fact, my 2019 word is enjoy, mm-hmm. enjoy every moment. So is it different, you know, going into the office and then coming to this place that has these younger people, this energy, this is totally different. Was it uncomfortable at first, or were you just like, this is awesome? You know, I mean, what was it like?
I think the first couple of years were awesome. It was so much fun. We're dancing in the store and we're making funny t-shirts, and you know, we were having a really good time. Mm-hmm. And unquestionably I was looking for something more fun, but the other word for me, not that I said it, but what was popping up was accountability. And what I really was frustrated by within corporate was the lack of accountability that many people, including the leaders of an organization, would have. Mm-hmm. So they'd come out, you know, they'd force you to do these great business plans, and then nobody ever tied them together to a unified plan nor held you to it other than the numbers. Mm-hmm. You were either making your numbers or you weren't making your numbers. But the things, the quality type stuff, or the, missing the right word, but that non-financial part of it, there was not a whole lot of focus of who are we growing as a company. Mm-hmm. And not every corporate entity is like that. I understand that. But it was very prominent, I think, within the insurance industry, that it was very numbers focused and growth focused. And I, you know, these people that pointed me to the franchise brokers said, you will love the accountability of owning your own business, because every morning you get to look in the mirror and say, am I getting it right? And if I'm not getting it right, what do I need to change and what do I need to tweak?
Ooh, you just gave me goosebumps on that one.
Yeah. And it, you live it and breathe it every day. And so, yes, the first couple of years were fun, but owning your own business, I mean, you truly are the janitor to the visionary. Mm. And on certain days, you don't always know what you're going to walk into. So it is fun. And it, at the same time, it's incredibly challenging to me as a person to say, okay, how could I do these things differently to get better as an organization? And I've had some great years doing it. And then I've had some not so great years doing it. And every one of them was full of learning.
Didn't you win like number one store in the first year or something like that? Or I probably have the facts wrong on that one, but I remember seeing something about that.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah,
she's
we won. Yeah, we did. But it's funny you mention it, because we won Rookie of the Year in our first 6 months of that first year.
Wow.
And then I think it was our third year that we won what they call Frog of the Year. So it's the store with the highest revenue.
Oh my gosh. And that was in your third year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'd have to go back and look at it. But it's funny you mention that, because what I learned now in year 9, we're starting in May, is that I was exactly that person. I took myself out of the insurance brokerage business where it's, you know, you're winning awards and you're judged by the size of your portfolio of business. And then I was doing the same thing at Big Frog. And at the end of 2017, I had to really switch that to say, Janet, it is not about winning awards and it's not about that top line. It's about the quality of the culture within the organization and what are you doing to build that culture?
Wow.
Because I honestly had gotten very lazy about it. And
that's brilliant.
I had taken some stuff for granted. So qualitative was the word I was looking for earlier. This year, it was a process last year, and then this year, it's very much about work on the qualitative items and the numbers will take care of themselves. And that's a very different model for me.
That is, to find that insight on your own is huge. We're going to kind of take a turn here. Do you have a process? I know me, I have to get up in the morning and get centered because if I don't, I'm all over the place. So I've made a, you know, little space in my office where it's, you know, meditative. Do you have a process when you get up, or are you just like the minute you hit the ground, you get running? Is there some, you know, these moments that you have these thoughts and these great, brilliant insights? I mean, is there a process that you come to, or is it just, they just happen during the day? Is popping your lap.
I'm not sure when they come timing wise, but I will say that 2 years ago, at the beginning of 2017, I did make a switch to journaling in the morning, finding quiet time in the morning. And I got myself this planner called the Freedom Planner that's available online where you detail your top 50 goals in life, you know, or dreams. You know, you create a vision board, you think about the steps to get there. You think about the timelines to get there. And I was very good about that in probably for the first 6 months of 2017. Then I was spotty. 2018, I wasn't very good. In 2019, I'm back at it. And I'm back at it because I realized how strengthening that quiet time in the morning is for me. And I am a thinker and I think a lot. So I need to quiet my head, the voices. I say quiet all the different voices, my civil voices. I got to get them.
I have a lot too. I'm like, enough children. I need some sleep. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And only the older people listening to this will understand the civil, who, wow, she had like numerous personalities within her head.
Yeah.
But I now have found that I actually, this is going to sound a little crazy, but when my alarm goes off, sometimes I wake up before my alarm and I no longer hit the snooze button because I look so forward to having that time. And I have a little room as well, and the candles go on and the low lights go on. The dogs don't even bother me. Sometimes they come up, they check in, and they leave. And, you know, it's a really great way to start the day. And I think just kind of reminding yourself that you are in control of that day. I always feel very sorry for people that I come across that are just having that schedule run their lives and they're not stopping to kind of think about how they could change things and direct things in their lives. It makes me sad. You know, it really makes me sad that they haven't gotten to that point yet to realize that they are in control. They are in more control than they think.
I think society has such a way of setting that pace, and then people forget that we have our own control of jumping off the treadmill. And when you choose to do it, it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you're like, I mean, I'm the same way. I wake up every day and I'm like, oh my God, I just gratitude abound, you know, because it's a beautiful thing. And I can feel when I'm getting too crazy with it. And then I say, hey, you know what? You're in charge of your to-do list. let's see what we can do to calm that thing down, you know, put some water on the fire a little bit. But there's so many things I want to talk about. And unfortunately, we are running out of time. You have to promise to come back because I want to talk to you about your volunteering for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Yeah. We want to touch on that. So you've got to come back now. And then also about your beautiful fostering of your dogs. And I just think you have such a big heart. And so that deserves another show, sister. So thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell everybody how to look up your beautiful t-shirts, which I've ordered for my own fan base? Where can they find your t-shirts at?
Yes, we are online at bigfrog.com/Franklin. So we are located in Nashville. We are not an online presence. I mean, we're people to people, but we can handle things through phone, through email, and face-to-face. We've got beautifully talented graphic designers on staff that can help everybody make their t-shirt dreams come true.
And let me tell you, she does, because the t-shirts and sweatshirts and hats and every other product you can get there just are selling like hotcakes for me. So I appreciate what you did for us, and you designed it. It was gorgeous. So with that, Janet, have a wonderful week and a successful 2019. I'm sure you will. I do want to thank our sponsor today. It's Dino's right here in Ferndale, Michigan. He has also had other restaurants that he's opened with his own dreams, M-Brew, and his most recent restaurant opening in Gaylord, Michigan called Big Iron Grill. So keep dreaming, everybody, and it will come true. Manifest your thoughts. Your brain is so powerful. Put it to good use. Have a great day.